The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's May the 21st, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing. He's in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, South Korea is still posturing over the import of U.S. beef. The House subcommittees on agriculture have begun to mark up the next version of the Farm Bill. And it looks like President Bush just might sign the WERDA bill. The Water Resources Development Act would double the size of seven locks on the Illinois and Upper Mississippi rivers. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories a bit later in the half hour. And then, if you've been listening much over the last several months, you'll know the field for college-educated crop scientists is looking really, really good. We'll hear more today about that from the department head for the U of I Crop Sciences. You'll most likely recognize his name. For years, he was the soil fertility specialist located here on campus. Bob Haft will join us a bit later. And don't forget, just after the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens right here on this Monday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Did you miss the Closing Market Report or some of our other agricultural programming? We've got the answer. You can get all our AM 580 agricultural shows delivered daily directly to your computer. Just go to our website, willag.org, and look for the headline, subscribe to AM 580 Ag Podcast. Follow the simple steps, and you'll never miss an ag broadcast again. From the pre-opening and opening ag reports to the closing market report to Commodity Week, all delivered to your computer when you need it. Head on over to willag.org and put the AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts to work for you.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Taking a look at the numbers in Chicago on this Monday afternoon as they settled at the Board of Trade. July futures in the wheat pit at $4.80, up 8.75. September's 8.25 higher at $4.92.5. December contract at $5.03, up 8.15. Corn pit now, July contract $3.81, 9.75 higher. September's at $3.81.25, up 12.25. In December futures up 13.75 today at $3.80.25. July soybean futures $8.50. They finished the day 8 cents higher. August contract up 8 at 8.07.25, and November beans at 8.29.25, up 8 for the day. July bean meal futures at 215.50, up 3.50. July bean oil at 35.26, up 11 for the afternoon. Feeder cattle over at the Mercantile Exchange lost 20 cents for the day at 108.92.5. June live cattle at 93.60, up 95 cents. August futures there up a dollar at $93.40 a hundredweight. Lean hogs June contract 7.5 cents lower at $75.32.5. From the outside markets, crude oil trading the nearby July at $66.28, up $1.34. That would be the June contract. July futures at $66.90, up 92 cents for the day. CRB index at 316.57, up 340. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 13,581. And it's up just about 25 points for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange, as he does each and every Monday afternoon, is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, a little gain at the Chicago Board of Trade. I hear from a little birdie that it might have had something to do with China. Is that right?
Well, there are some ideas that Chinese are going to back off on their corn exports. We didn't see any confirmation of it yet, but you know, you have to wonder China, what they say and what they do. But that was part of the strength. But there's also ideas that this afternoon's crop conditions report for corn, the first one we're going to see, recent years, the average good to excellent categories come in about 68%. There's ideas that maybe that might be more towards 60% good to excellent, that the crop's not off to the best start that we've seen for some time. We're hearing that extreme dryness in some areas has really caused some havoc with the crop here in the eastern belt, while the western belt is considerably too wet in some areas. So how you average that all out, we'll know here at 3 o'clock this afternoon. But two, the other item that needs to be noted is the humongous amount of demand we've seen here over the last week on this price drop. Basis has firmed dramatically here on this demand. Producers have locked the door bins, and plus two, a lot of the producers are pretty well sold up. So we're seeing the marketplace having to come higher to shake loose some grain. We saw a huge sale again this morning, over 316,000 tons sold, corn sold to unknown destination, along with 110,000 beans sold to China. So the end user or the exporter is stepping forward trying to get their lion's share. The livestock guy is stepping forward trying to get his lion's share of the crop. And lastly, we're seeing the ethanol users come forward here. They were pretty well covered until this April-May period, and they're trying to get some extended coverage as we go into the summer weather market.
If you would, tell me about the differences between old crop and new crop at this point.
Well, it's going up. Swing back and forth. Today, the new crop gained about 4 cents on the old crop. You're going to see some huge swings in that spread back and forth. Typically, in the past, whenever you had a bullish situation, old crops gained on new crop. With the new fund trader in place in here, that spread might be kind of hard to get to work in a bullish situation. But trading that spread is just about as volatile as trading outright commodity, long or short.
So that's not for the faint of the heart in speculators. What are you telling your guys on the cash side of the marketplace? Anything to do at this point?
Well, we're from a producer's point of view as a cash seller, you should be pretty well sold up to where you want to be and holding that last part into this early summertime window to see what takes place weather-wise and sort of use the scale-up approach on selling. For one that is fairly sold up on cash, it's time to replace it. It's time to get the coverage on. We're in an atmosphere where this market could be quite explosive if the weather does not cooperate. And you need to do it now instead of waiting for $5.50 or $6 to do it. There's some simple option strategies you can use to get you in there for $500, $600 a contract on a bull call spread. There's some covered long positions where you buy the board and buy it put at the same time. There's several strategy you can use to help establish a replacement strategy without being exposed to a whole lot of risk. Because basically, like we saw over a week ago, a 70-cent move from high to low to the closing price on that Friday, that's only going to get worse. A lot of the trade says, well, we can move up a dollar, down a dollar. Well, we can do that in 1 week. This thing's going to get more and more volatile as time goes on. But from a cash selling point of view, if you're wanting to get the replacements on, now's the time to do it.
Yeah, what makes you think that, though? What is the fundamental or reason behind the idea that you want them to take a position in the marketplace at this point, other than what they've done already with their cash sales?
Well, typically what happens is a guy pretty well gets sold up. Then the market goes higher and he doesn't sell anymore. He feels bad about those earlier sales, and they typically come in and buy the high and try to replace it, try to play catch-up, and it's disastrous. What we're recommending is do it now before the emotion run high. We feel that if we just take a couple bushels off the supply-demand balance sheet, that the ending stock can tighten up dramatically. You take 5 bushels off yield, you can take carryout down under 500 million bushels real quick. And that's the fuel to put on the fire to give reason for this market just to literally take off to the upside.
So you're suggesting that they come in and they replace cash sales they've already made. And how far along are you, or would you think that you are, on your cash sales?
Well, our advice at grainfield.com, the generic advice, we're 70% sold on the old crop. We've got put options, quite a bit of put options on the new crop to protect us. And market goes higher, we'll sell cash. Grains will go higher. But what we're getting into is an atmosphere where the futures could rally $1.50, $2, and the cash market probably go up half that much.
Mm-hmm.
We feel that the basis is going to widen out as time goes on. So to help play catch up in here, we feel that over the next month or so, we warrant, you know, some cash replacements and see what the summer market brings.
Well, just to be clear, you're talking cash replacements, I was assuming, on new crop, right?
Old crop and new crop, both.
On both.
Yeah.
Where do we stand on the soybeans?
Well, the beans, they're going to be dynamic, just like the corn. It's going to be soybean oil led. We're a little less aggressive on the cash side on bean sales, figuring we'd hang on to some cash beans. But beans, basically, you know, weather-wise in through here, there's no reason why beans can't rally $1.50 to $2 from here. When you look at the supply-demand balance sheet, less acres in the demand base we have here, it's just explosive, just like the corn is.
Maybe we'd better talk a little bit about wheat as we head into harvest for the soft red.
You're going to have two different markets in the wheat. You're going to have a hard red winter wheat belt price. You're going to have an eastern soft red winter wheat price. And our belief is that we've lost quite a few acres here in the east. Insurance agents or companies were anxious to write checks, and there was quite a few acres torn up and put into some other crops. So, yeah, yield will go up in the east because we've saw quite a bit of the poor stands destroyed and gone elsewhere. But we got to wait till the combines roll because producers alone don't know where they are because one field looks great. Go to another field, you've only got probably 50% of a crop. So we're going to have to wait for some yield reports to come out to give the wheat some confidence to either move higher or lower.
Kurt, we appreciate you being with us.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Monday afternoons.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Now at the bottom of the hour, a meteorologist from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago will join us to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own AM580's Ed Kieser, chief meteorologist here at the radio station, says tonight mostly clear skies across the two-state region. Lows will range from 52 in northeastern Indiana to 60 in the west-central parts of Illinois. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies during the morning and partly to mostly sunny during the afternoon. Highs will range from 83 to 87. Tomorrow, wind speeds at 10 to 20 miles an hour. The minimum afternoon relative humidities ranging between 25% and 40%. The extended forecast for the two states, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms likely Thursday into Thursday night. Amounts of coverage are expected to be greatest in the north and the least in the south. Scattered showers and thunderstorms may linger around areas right on through Friday, although coverage will not be complete. Here's Dave with the news.
In agricultural news, South Korea says it will ease import barriers on U.S. cattle, provided the U.S. gets a favorable mad cow safety rating from the World Organization for Animal Health. USDA Undersecretary Chuck Lambert says that South Korea could begin the process of transition to a more open beef market as early as this week. That process includes a scientific risk assessment of U.S. beef. The OIE is scheduled to vote next week on whether to grant the U.S. controlled risk status on BSE. House Agriculture Subcommittees begin markup of the Farm Bill this week, but already some budgetary items are emerging. Members reportedly will consider cutting the Conservation Security Program by $1.1 billion and terminate new enrollments until 2012. Also, funding for the Environmental Quality Incentives Program, or EQIP, would double to $2 billion if offset funding is found. If not, EQIP would receive $9 billion over 5 years. Also under consideration, a 5-million-acre increase in the Grassland Reserve Program and a 1.5-million-acre increase in the Wetlands Reserve Program. The European Union, U.S., India, and Brazil say they plan to meet again in June to discuss agricultural issues holding up a world trade deal. The four nations concluded 2 days of talks last Friday, which negotiators termed productive. There are indications that President Bush will not stand in the way of passage of the Water Resources Development Act, or WRDA. Montana Senator Kit Bond says he had a conversation with the president last week. After the meeting, Bond said, and this is a direct quote, "I think we're now in a position to get it passed and signed into law this summer." WRDA would double the size of 5 locks on the Upper Mississippi River and 2 on the Illinois River. Leading producers of ethanol and biodiesel say their industries face serious barriers in meeting a White House target of 35 billion gallons of renewable and alternative fuels by 2017. Biofuel analysts project that total production of ethanol and biodiesel could reach 17.5 billion gallons by 2017. Analysts say with existing technology, there is simply not enough feedstock to reach the Bush administration goal. Renewable fuel industry officials met last Friday in Houston. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILO radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. If you happen to miss some of our daily ag programming, you can pick it up off the website as an MP3 file or have it downloaded directly to your computer via a podcast. It's all there at willag.org. Well, up next, careers in agriculture. We're on the uptick. I'll have more on the future for crop sciences. It's an exciting time for professors of crop sciences at the University of Illinois. Department head Bob Hafe says maybe the most exciting in his career, and he admits he's been around a long time.
A lot of things have come together here in the last couple of years to make crop sciences a much more attractive, inviting environment for students, for employees, for all working in agriculture. What's come together is, for one thing, the energy boom, the bioenergy boom. A lot of interest in producing energy from agronomic crops. This has created some new opportunities in the farming community, created new opportunities in the marketplace for students coming out with a crop sciences major.
Couple this increasing demand with the flood of retirements as the baby boomers exit the system, and, well, you get the picture.
So we have a lot of job opportunities out there. Every one of our students are getting 2 to 3 offers that are coming out. We have more jobs than what we can place students. Salaries have gone up. We have the highest salaries this year in the College of Agriculture of any of the departments in the college for our BS level graduates. And I think those salaries are going to go up more.
Hafe says agricultural companies, particularly those in seed production, are on the hunt now for people trained in agricultural sciences, the biotech, and muddy boots type. He does not see that need waning in the near future. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's a Monday afternoon. Time now to take a look at the cash grain market. And Wyatt Muse of the Andersons joins us from here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Wyatt.
Yes, afternoon, Todd.
Let's talk a little bit about what's been happening at the Chicago Board of Trade. We'll start there rather than with the cash grain market because we had a couple of things that we've talked about, at least on the air. One, that China might be backing away from their export side. That could have pushed the market a bit higher. The other, which I suppose sounds more plausible, is that traders were simply taking a position before this afternoon's release of the crop progress reports, which gives us the first opportunity to take a look at the condition of the corn crop across the Midwest, and they believe it may not be as good a condition as it has been in past years. What do you think?
Absolutely. Lots of reasons for the bulls to be winners today, but last night corn started out lower and hit a technical bottom around that 363, 364 area, and a Chinese analyst came out and mentioned that they're going to possibly halt their exports, which any possibility of that certainly gets the market excited. And I think the underlying fact there is that they're talking about increasing their export tariffs to try to help the freight rates stay in check. And on top of that, we've got continued dryness in the southeast that's really starting to take its toll on the crop and looks like it's starting to cross the Ohio River down into southeastern Ohio, which starts to get into the Corn Belt where it really becomes a concern. And yeah, the crop conditions report starting to come out today is going to be some interesting news, and lots of reasons to be bullish today.
Wait, if you could go back and maybe talk a little bit, if you know, what the connection between the freight rates and the export tariffs are in China might be.
Well, what's going on right now is they're having a massive steel boom. The steel industry is doing excellent in China because they're building buildings, roads, and machines to build those, and as the steel stays expensive, one of the last things to get built are ocean-going vessels, barges, and rail cars, because they can just make the ones that are currently in use more efficient before they build new ones. And so the theory by the Chinese government, making it fair to all those involved like they like to do, they say they're going to increase export tariffs, and that's going to supposedly balance things out. So the theory is that Chinese people have this corn, and government can sell corn to other governments. Well, that's going to be more expensive, and with the continued weakness in the U.S. dollar, it's going to make our corn look like a little bit better buy on the world market.
And then come back to the home front. Tell me about cash basis in Champaign County for both corn and soybeans.
Still improving. Came in another 2 cents today on the old crop corn, and that inverse in the July D still held today, but just barely. It seems like all the processors are really trying to draw it out of the commercials' hands, and commercials are trying to draw it out of the farmers' hands. Just keep the pipeline full as much as possible. New crop basis hasn't really moved at all lately. I think we're going to have to wait and see what kind of crop this shapes up to be before we see any movement one way or the other.
And I have to ask, have you been able to buy from farmers' hands, and has the Andersons there been able to sell or decided to sell to the commercial side?
You know what? We did sell two 75-car unit trains today, corn trains, one for June, one for July, and that's to some end users in the southeast on improved basis. It was the best bid that we'd had in some time, so it's going to free up a little bit of space, and that allowed us to improve our bid also to pass that on to the farmer. And hopefully now that people are catching up with field work, they'll be able to take advantage of that and start delivering. But as far as purchases, it's been pretty slow lately on the corn side. I think everyone's waiting on that next leg up, and some guys have been rewarding the market and selling some beans, both old and new.
And your bids for the day?
Cash corn 370, cash beans 766, fall corn 55, and fall beans 804.
We appreciate it, Wyatt.
Yep, thank you.
Wyatt Muse is with the Andersons, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Monday afternoon. Time now for your look at the regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Jose Padilla's terrorism support trial is in its second week. The 36-year-old U.S. citizen and former Chicago gang member and two co-defendants are accused of supporting al-Qaeda and other Islamic extremists. Reporters today are getting a look at the assembly of Chicago-based Boeing's new 787. It's the first plane Boeing has made using mostly carbon fiber plastic that's more durable than aluminum. The University of Illinois sees its acquisition of a Champaign apartment complex as an expansion of the South Campus area. So says Vice Chancellor of Student Affairs Gene Barton about the Board of Trustees' vote last week to buy the Ashton Woods apartment complex at Windsor and First Streets. The University Housing Division will eventually take over management of the 150-unit apartment complex, where the majority of tenants are U of I students. Indiana University trustees are meeting this afternoon to consider tuition increases for the next 2 years. They're considering a proposal to raise tuition and fees 5% each year for in-state students. Purdue and Ball State recently approved tuition increases. Two inmates at the federal prison in Terre Haute have been sentenced to life in prison without parole for the 2005 murder of another inmate. The U.S. Attorney's Office says 34-year-old Timothy McAllister and 33-year-old Jeremy Sneed pleaded guilty to first-degree murder. They were accused of attacking 49-year-old Rock Halsey in a common area of the prison in 2005. Illinois' newest incorporated village holds its first village board meeting tomorrow. The Kane County Village of Campton Hills was carved out of Campton Township after a two-year referendum effort. A judge approved the incorporation last week, along with the court-appointed board that will govern Campton Hills until elections are held next year. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to WILL Urbana. This is the broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Tonight, we're joined now to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast by Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the Midwestern weather pattern for the week, please.
Well, we see a more active pattern here setting up across the Midwest, and that will initially begin tomorrow in the western sections of the Midwest as the first of numerous waves of low pressure begin to track across the belt. This initial wave will produce a bit more precip in the western belt versus the eastern belt, but we see additional waves coming through over the upcoming weekend, and those waves look to produce more widespread significant totals in the eastern belt. So for some of those areas in the eastern belt, namely here from eastern Illinois on over to Indiana, Ohio, we do see opportunities for rainfall, especially starting on later on this week.
Enough to alleviate some of the dry conditions that have ensued across those portions of our listening area?
Yeah, we think so, Todd, and even if the rains do not verify here this week and the timing of it is the next week, it looks like this active pattern just continues here, and really from now into the early portion of June, the Midwest overall will be in an active pattern. That is due to the jet stream being in a southwest flow pattern, which shows all signs of continuing into the early portion of June.
Well, sounds like the Midwest should be set for the growing season, at least for the moment. What can you tell us about other growing regions around the nation and the globe?
Well, as we look at the Plains hard red winter wheat crop, that area is going to remain on the unsettled side. And so with crop maturing here and actually some harvesting that's going to be taking place here by the end of the month and early June, that is the area where we're seeing some quality reductions here. So the overall production looks to be very, very good, but we do have now this quality issue for winter wheat in the hard red belt. Then across the southeastern portion of the country, we see a continuation of the dryness in areas such as Georgia, Alabama, and the Carolinas, and there's no sign of any relief from that here coming up into the early portion of June. And then finally across China, which, you know, at this time of year we focus on China, especially with the sensitivity in the agriculture markets here. And the main item of news for China is that the North China Plain acreage, which is their southern corn and bean acreage, will be receiving widespread significant rainfall here over the next several days. And that will hold them over here as we go through the remainder of May and on into the early portion of June.
Mark, we appreciate you being with us.
Well, my pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Monday afternoon. Don't forget to tune in again tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our pre-opening Mark Report. And remember, you can hear today's futures analysis, the cash grain report, and the weather right there on the web. Just go to willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.